It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. This past week was a special day here for the radio station with the 41st birthday. Gosh, January 31st, 41 years ago, we went on the air.
Yeah.
And our first person at the control panel, besides Cherry Overlander and Maynard Meyer, was BB.
Yeah.
And talked to her a little bit, and she said they played a couple songs, and then both Terry and Maynard left the building, and she was there spinning records. Yeah. So it was a great turnout, so thank you very much. I personally always compare Q92 with Wheel of Fortune, as Vanna White and Pat Sajak will be coming up here for their 41st anniversary. The minimum prize on the last part of Wheel of Fortune is always the year that the Wheel of Fortune was on with Pat Sajak Vanna White.
Okay.
So it's 40 right now, but I'm not sure when that 41st anniversary is, but I can always compare that to Q92.
Same year.
Yeah, same year. So
yeah, we appreciate everybody showing up and all the nice cards we've received and
flowers.
Well wishes,
yeah.
Flowers. And appreciate that. We're shooting for 42 here.
Come yeah, on. For sure. And I think everybody here is going to stay here as long as he possibly can.
And I want to mention, too, Dick's been on the coach's show from day one, too, haven't you?
Well, the first Saturday morning, I don't know what day of the week that was, but the first Saturday morning, Tim McNamara and I were on the coach's show. So,
yeah. Long time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you were doing a coach's show on other radio stations before Maynard and Terry's.
Yeah, we started in Millbank, the religious station, and we went up into Dave Nimby's office there, athletic director's office, and we had it was the old-time rotator's phone, and we had to unscrew the speaker and plug in a couple little things, and we were on the air for a whopping.
And they gave you 7 minutes.
And Tim McNamara and myself said, how can we talk to a coach that long? You know, that would be fine. But Bob Monte, the football coach, just got about halfway through his roster, and we could hear religious music in the background. They cut us off. So we did that a couple years, and then we were in the hotel, and we did KDMA in the fall, the football report. Yep. And then when the station came here, we
Started day one. Well, you do a great job. You've been around a long time doing the coach's show, Dick, and we appreciate it.
Only 41 years. Wouldn't do it if didn't enjoy it.
That's right.
Well, we'll take this break, and we'll come back with the wrestling report from Hank Ireland after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, 10% off all fresh pork and beef. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Say big on project supplies. Now during Menards Project Day sale, stock up with paintbrushes. Choose from a 2-inch trim brush or a 2.5-inch angle brush. Just $1.99 each after rebate. Plus, pick up a 6-inch flexible putty knife. Great for light-duty construction and home projects. Free after rebate. These hot buy deals are good while supplies last. So save today. Prices good through February 4th. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Going to turn our attention now to wrestling. And with me this morning via the tape recorder is Hank Ireland. And you had a kind of a busy week starting last Saturday with the ninth grade league.
Yeah, last Saturday, the ninth grade league was in Redwood for their individual qualifier, and we had 13 of the 15 weight classes covered, and it's a good day of wrestling for the boys. We had a whole bunch of guys place, and Matthew Boffin, he placed seventh. Trent Boffin placed eighth. They placed up to eighth, and there's about 22 teams in the whole ninth grade league, our region. So it's a lot of teams in there, so the place is a pretty good feat, especially for a couple of seventh graders there, for Matthew and Trent.
Sure, sure.
Then Braden Jaden, he placed fifth, and Riley Borman, he placed sixth. And then we had three third placers. Aiden Olson placed third, Bentley Boffin placed third, and Alex Perez, he placed third as well. And only the top two make it to state, so those three just missed out on it, and all they were kind of bummed about not making it to state, but they wrestled well, and third place is pretty tough, pretty good in a tough bracket. So those were the places for the ninth grade league. Then we moved on to Thursday night. We wrestled in Worthington and wrestled section opponent Worthington there. We started off with Eli Olson getting that tech ball, winning 19-3. Then Braden Jaden received a forfeit for United. Gavin Mortensen won by a pinfall at 127. Grayson Olson lost a tight 6-5 match over Alex Galvez. Then at 133, Ben Gunlickson won a 6-2 decision. At 139, Adrian Norman received a forfeit. 145, I got a pinfall. 152, Cameron Sather got a pinfall. At 160, Mason Peterson got a pinfall. 172, Noah Meyer got a pinfall. Then at 189, Parker Boffin got a pin. And then at 215, Zach DeBeer got a pin. And then at heavyweight, Brady Rohde received a forfeit. So we finished it off with quite a few pins there to end the duel. And yes, it was final score 68 for United and 3 for Worthington. And it was a good duel for us. Ben Gunlickson got his 100th career win in that match. And then Parker Boffin also got his 75th career win in that match. So good milestones for those boys to hit.
You've had a number of milestones this year, so yeah. that's great.
It's been awesome. Then we wrestled Mineota next, and we knew it was going to be a tight one. Eli Olson started us off with a 6-4 decision. Then Braden Jaden got pinned by a Caden Lesnetsky. Gavin Mortensen, then at 121, lost a close one 2-0. Then Ben Gunlickson got a pinfall for us in the second period. And Grayson Olson, we bumped him up to 133, and he lost a tight match to a ranked Adam Dablomik, 11-2. Colin Shocker got a major decision, winning 12-3. Dan Gunlickson got a tech ball, winning 16-0. Cameron Sather over a tough Brock Fear, he won 9-3. And then Mason Peterson lost to Dustin Fear from Minnesota by a pinfall. Noah Meyer had a close match, losing 5-3 to Alex DePestel. At 189, Parker Boffin won by a tech ball, winning 18-2. And at 215, Zach DeBeer won by a pinfall, And at heavyweight, Brady Rohde won by a pinfall in 35 seconds. So that made the final score United 38, Minnesota 22. It was good to get two more dual wins on the year. We're now 21-2 on the year. So it's been a really, really good, successful year so far. And we got one more week left. And we wrestle today in our conference tournament here in Dawson. And it's the Camden Conference and West Central Conference. So there's 13 teams here. It'll be a lot of highly ranked opponents going against each other. That's starting at 10 o'clock. And we've had a really good week of practice. Told the boys to trust your training, trust yourself, and just go have fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. And like I mentioned, I think last week on the Culture Show, Q92 will not be there. But, boy, you can drive over there starting at 10 o'clock right after the Culture Show here this morning and watch some great wrestling throughout the day. Probably continue throughout the morning and into the afternoon, probably get done around supper time or so, but you would really see some great wrestling between the West Central area and the Camden Conference.
Yeah, it should be some great wrestling, and it's kind of nice to wrestle those tough opponents that are not in your section. So I think only Morris is the only team that's in our section that's going to be there, so boys got nothing to lose. Just go wrestle hard and have fun.
For sure. And then next week you've got a quadrangular at Atwater Grove, Cosmos Grove City. That would be at Grove City, I guess.
Yep, we finish off the regular season in against at ACGC, and we will see ACGC, Painesville area, and Canby. So it'll be three good teams that have some tough individuals and tough teams. Canby's looking to win their section. ACGC's always been in the state tournament the past couple years, and Painesville's got a team that's coming up. So it'll be three good duels to end the year on, and get ready for the postseason.
Okay. Well, best of luck today with that individual tournament right in Dawson. It's only a short drive away, and you will be well entertained, that's for sure. And then on Thursday at Grove City, starting at 5 o'clock with that try with Painesville, Camby, and ACGC, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
If you've ever felt like you just can't get in control of your money, you're not alone. You'd be surprised how many people you know are struggling just like you. But it's time for your struggle to end. Starting today, join the Financial Peace University class at Crossroads Lutheran Church in Dawson starting this Sunday, February 4th at 4 o'clock, and learn how you can pay off debt, save more money, and build wealth. Discounted rate of $80 for the first 10 participants. For more information and to register, go to the Crossroads Lutheran Church website at crossroadslutheran.net.
University of Minnesota Extension, Countryside Public Health, and NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Health Minnesota, will offer QPR training for agricultural communities. It's a suicide prevention class tailored for farming communities. The aim is to change public perception and better equip the community to identify and help people who may be having thoughts of suicide. Classes are virtual, online, they're free. They run 1.5 hours, one on February 5th, February 19th and March 4th. For information, go to countrysidepublichealth.org, put QPR or mental health resources in the search box, and you'll get sign-up information right there.
Something big is happening Sunday, February 4th at T&D Barnwood Rustics, located along Highway 212 in Dawson. It's an inventory sale. Everything must go. It's taking 50% off all furniture, 75% off home decor items and display stands. That's Sunday, February 4th from 11 to 1 p.m. at T&D Barnwood Rustics in Dawson. Cash or check only, please.
February 3rd today, happy birthday going out to Judy Kittleson, Joe Mertis, Bill Tellefson, Matt Hogan, Alexis Paulson. Happy anniversary to Jim and Lucille Wambach down in Taunton celebrating their 56th wedding anniversary today. Sunday, happy birthday to Dale Hippler, Jason Hastad, Dan Bennigan, Kelsey Miller, Caden Vernoles,
Ross Conkleman. And a happy anniversary on Sunday the 4th to Jim and Kathy Nesvold. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacapa Valley Boys Basketball. Head coach Robin Rademacher. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, boy, I tell you what, we've got a lot of basketball to be played yet, regular season, but the sections is right around the corner.
Yeah, it's a clock calendar turned to February, and weather sure is nice. It feels like spring basketball, March basketball, with the weather outside, which we're really happy about. And yeah, our season, I guess, is kind of winding down. We had a couple games this last week, and I think looking at the schedule, we got about 8 left on the schedule.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us about this week then.
Let's see. Monday night, it's never my favorite night to play. And then when you have to go on the road, too, it just makes it a little harder. But Monday night, we traveled over to Renville to take on an RCW team that's kind of like us, struggling, but has ability to score some points and had played some teams tough and also gotten beat, kind of like us. So a very similar team come out in the first half. I thought we were playing nice basketball. Really pleased with the way our guys attacked the basket. We got to the free throw line, I think, in the first half about 14 times. And we're converting on some free throws, some baskets. We go in the locker room up 39-28. Mm. And we just talked about keep attacking, keep going. Let's try to build on that. And I guess the second half, and that's kind of the theme this week, the second half we had a hard time scoring, and they didn't miss. They were able to hit a lot of outside shots. Our shots weren't falling. We didn't get to the free throw line as many times, and RCW was able to pull away in the second half, and they outscored us by 20 points in the second half. Mm. And we lost a game I feel we should have won. That's a hard one to lose, but, you know, tip the hat to RCW. Those kids worked hard, and they played for each other, and they were able to pull out a 75-66 win on the night. And that was kind of a letdown for us. We've been playing some nice basketball, especially coming off the big win Thursday night the week before against TMB, and I thought going over there we'd have it, and we had a nice first half. But basketball is a two halves, and you got to play both of them, and we didn't do that in the second half, and that's the hard part.
Why don't coaches like to play on Monday, Robin?
I hear that from
other coaches too.
It's just hard. The kids, you know, coming off a weekend, they're not in a routine. You didn't get a chance to go through a little shoot around or practice, that type of thing. And you get on the bus and you travel, and it just seems like you're out of sorts. Those games are always catch games, too. And then you play a team that you maybe think that you've got a chance to win, and you might be looking ahead or thinking about what you've done in the past and knowing you got a big one coming up. And I don't know, just all of those things kind of snowballed on us in the second half, and we didn't have the answers for them. And I got to tip your hats to RCW. Those kids are ready to play. So at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And we didn't do enough to get the win, and we'll just keep working to try to improve.
All right. Stats on that night then?
You know, both teams shot the ball somewhat similar, you know, as far as the three-point range. They ended up hitting 8 of them, and most of those all came, 7 of them, whatever, came in the second half. And they shot the ball at a 44% clip. We were at 30%. You know, that's a big disparity right there. They just shot the ball better than us, and they made a bunch of shots. Free throws, that was Achilles' heel for us. We were only 12 of 21 on the night. You know, when you're shooting at 57%, and some of those are 1-1s, they're 11 of 15. Rebounds, that was a stat that really stood out. We have some size, and I thought we'd be able to get some, and they out-rebounded us on a night 46-37. So that was a stat that I look back at and say, darn, that's one that I thought we should get. We didn't turn the ball over too bad. We had 6 block shots on the night. So overall, just some of those, you know, glaring weaknesses, the rebounding and our shooting percentage from not only the free throw line but outside, were things that hurt us. Scoring on the night, we were led by Davis Patzer with 19, Matt Arndt had 17, Eli had 12, Caden Molden had 10, Carson Bessner hit a 3-pointer for 3, TJ Mitchell had 5, and Peyton played but did not score. TJ led us with 14 rebounds on the night. Molden had 8. Assists, we were pretty much across the board. We had 3 guys with 3, and Eli had 4. You know, overall, like I said, they're just it wasn't a lot of difference in the game other than the second half, and maybe we shouldn't have went to the locker room. Maybe we should have went back out in the bus and did something on that end. But going to the locker room, I thought we didn't need to correct a whole lot of things, keep doing what we're doing, and then it just got away from us in the second half.
Yeah, they just shot the lights out.
You know, and that's basketball, and when any team can do that, you can look at it all levels, from the NBA all the way down to small Class A Western Minnesota basketball, and the team that gets hot and keeps it rolling generally is the team that wins. And no matter what you do on defense, you can get right up in them if things are going in, and then that leads over to the offensive side for us, that we're probably trying to take too quick a shot and try to hurry up and score back to match up with them, and one leads to the next and to the next. So.
Right.
Tough one.
Yep, kind of the same thing happened Thursday with Mineola too, didn't it?
Exactly. I thought we played a very nice first half. We matched their intensity. They were getting us on the boards, but I thought our turnovers were very limited. A good basketball game. I think two teams that match up well with each other. They do try to press a little bit, but that didn't bother us. They didn't shoot the ball from the outside very well in the first half. We were contesting, but they were getting a lot of offensive rebounds, second, third. I think one possession they even had maybe four cracks at it. But I thought we were getting some turnovers, some easy baskets, and we had jumped out to a 35-28 lead. And the hard part is we called a timeout with, I don't know, about 6-8 seconds left and set up a play, and we didn't get it run correctly, and I maybe took too much time drawing it up, and the kids didn't get out in the floor quick enough, and they got a steal right before halftime, and you got a bucket. We could have went in the locker room up 9, but we only go up 7, and the corrections were, hey, keep contesting shots. We got to do a better job. We talked about our guards coming down and helping rebound. We played a 3-2, and 3-2 with three guys up puts your bottom two guys in a lot of pressure, so we can't rely on two guys down low to get all the boards. So we talked about, sliding some guys down, making sure you're getting down, headhunt a little, what we call it. Go find a body to get, so you can at least bump and don't let them get a free jump on it. So thought we would correct that offensively. I said, keep doing what we're doing. We're getting good looks. We had really moved the ball around nice. I thought it was unselfish, very unselfish for us in the first half. Guys were making the extra pass. We were knocking down some shots. Going to the locker room, same type of thing. We come out in the second half. We kind of trade a couple three-pointers back and forth, and then the wheels came off for us, and they absolutely shot the lights out. And they outscored us in the second half 56-31 and won the basketball game 84-66. I don't know if it's really true. I mean, that we lost by 18, that's what the scoreboard says, but I felt that the game could have went either way with about 12 minutes to go. And
exactly.
They just made more plays. They were a little more aggressive than us on the boards. And when they had guys, I think they hit 9 three-pointers in the second half. But they hit 2 in the first half and ended up with 9 in the second half. And that's just what we talked about against RCW. In basketball, you start shooting, everybody else starts seeing it go through the hole. It's kind of contagious. And then we don't see the ball go through the hole, and the heads hang a little bit. And that's human nature. I mean, right. You want to score, and when it doesn't go, it's hard to keep focusing on the defense, especially when you get a stop and then they get a rebound and another put back. And then it just digs a little deeper. And we'll work on correcting that. But overall, I thought it was a great atmosphere. I thought, two teams that are equal, even though the scoreboard doesn't show that. It's a team that we might see in the playoffs. So hopefully that if we do get a chance to see them again, we're going to be ready, and we know kind of what they got.
Okay, stats on Thursday night's game with Mineola?
Both teams shot the ball pretty well. We shot at a 45%. They shot at 48. We hit 12 threes. They hit 11. And like I said, 9 of them came in the second half. Free throws, they were 7 and 8. We were 4 of 8. The stat that jumps out is the rebounding. They out-rebounded us by 15, 40-25, and a lot of those came as second-chance points. And those were hard. The assists were right across the board, pretty equal. Turnovers, same thing. Steals, very well-played game, but you look back and you go, geez, how did we lose by is what we did? And that's a tough one. Scoring on the night, Caden Molden had a nice overall game. He had 26 for us. Matt Arndt had 12, Aiden Rademacher had 10, Davis Patzer had 8, TJ Mitchell had 4, Eli Hagelin had 6, and everybody else got into the game but didn't score. Carson Bessonen, Tiganol Press, Baxter Koloff, Brock, and our first son all got in, didn't score, but contributed. Davis led us with assists. He had 9 assists on the night. Rebounds, we were led by Eli Hagelin with 7. We had a couple block shots, one by Carson Bessman and one by TJ. But I guess it's just that, you know, digging in, getting some stops. And once we did get the stops, we didn't get the rebound. And I think that's the difference in the game. And then they hit some shots, and they got hot in the second half.
This week for the Eagles.
Busy week. Tuesday, we're on the road over to Kirkhoven to play KMS. That's a tough gym to play in. Game we lost at the buzzer the first time we played them. We were ahead by 1, and the Holloway kid had a missed shot, got the offensive rebound, threw it up right as the buzzer went off, and we lost by 1. So hope to be a competitive game there. Friday, we travel to Ortonville. And then a week from today, on Saturday, we go to St. Cloud Cathedral.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good. Good competition up there, I would guess. With the
I imagine, you know, they're a 2A school. Yep. It'll be something different for our kids, different experience, different gym, different atmosphere. So kind of fun. We've got a few of those games this year where we played some different teams on our schedule. So Looking forward to it, but hopefully we can get the one on Tuesday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Robin. Talk to you next Saturday then.
You bet. Have a good week.
Head coach Robin Rademacher of the Rockefeller Valley Eagles. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Appleton Power Equipment, Hardware, and Floral is your Valentine headquarters. Stop in for fresh flower arrangements, flowering plants, green plants, and we can make you a cute garden basket with a variety of flowers and plants. And we're not your Valentine headquarters just because we have a floral shop. Guys deserve Valentine gifts too, like a steel chainsaw or Toro blower or DeWalt corded or battery power tool. Appleton Power Equipment, Hardware, and Floral, your Valentine headquarters.
You are invited to Calvary's Family Faith Night at Calvary Baptist Church in Madison, Minnesota, Sunday, February 4th. Calvary Baptist Church is located next to the Dairy Queen in Madison. Activities start at 4 o'clock with board games, and there will be a mix of board game options, with some being good for kids. At 5 o'clock, there will be a worship service with Madison's own Paul Ramo speaking. Then at 6 o'clock, there will be a dinner for all who attend. This isn't just for families with young kids. All are welcome. That's Calvary's Family Faith Night at Calvary Baptist Church in Madison, Minnesota, Sunday, February 4th.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to dance now. Lockpaw Valley Dawson Boys Shadows Dance Team with head coach Carly Wager. Good morning, Carly.
Good morning, Paul.
Wow. We haven't talked to you for a couple Saturdays, but you've been really busy.
It has been busy, yes.
All right, tell us all about it. I think last time we talked, were you up at St. Cloud yet? Or?
Yes, we were on our way to St. Cloud Cathedral, and so we ended up having a really great performance that weekend, and we came home with first place in kick, and we had beat Holdingford, which was in second place, and Cathedral in 10th place. And Holdingford is kind of the new upcoming team, and so they've really surprised all of Class A. Last year they got 4th at state, and so, they're really up there with us in YME. So it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. So, and then in Zaz, we got 3rd place behind Zimbrota Mazeppa, and they are also a strong jazz team that's really stepped it up this year. And so Zimbrota Mazeppa got 2nd place, and then Cathedral got 3rd place.
All
and
right.
That was just a varsity-only competition.
Kind of a mini state tournament, sounds like.
It was, yes.
Okay. And before we talked about the next dance competition, I know you've done some tweaking with high kick, haven't you?
Yes. Yep. So over Christmas break, we really revamped the beginning to the kick line. And so We've just been working a lot on cleaning that up and perfecting that again, because it's kind of like learning a new routine, in a sense, over a short amount of time. So, yeah, we make little tweaks here and there each week, but that was a big change over Christmas break.
Right. To make it more difficult, is that the idea of it? Or?
Yes. Yep. Just visually, our scores were lower in the visual effectiveness category, and with that, you can't really improve on that unless you physically change parts of your routine and stuff. And so you can't just change one little thing without it affecting, you know, the rest of the routine. And so a lot of it goes into it. And girls had to learn new spots and new choreography and stuff like that. But they really handled it well and really stayed focused through it all. And, yeah, it's just really coming together now.
Okay, so it's paying off, the changes then.
It is, yes.
Okay. Well, what happened next after St. Cloud Cathedral then?
Yes. So then we went to YME, and this is always a great competition too. A lot of the teams that we see at State in the past were there as well too. And so for KIC, we came out with a first place finish. Holdingford was right behind us. It was a very, very close score. And so, and then YME was third, and they were, it was all within 3 points of first and third, so it was tight. And then Jazz Cathedral got first, YME got second, and Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boyd got third.
Okay, all right, YME, and then the JV.
Yes.
Okay.
That was JV's last competition, and so it was sad to have them be done so early into the season. Normally they are done like this next week. We usually go to Lakeview, but since Lakeview hosted conferences, they weren't going to do it this year, so they were done a little earlier this season. And so they finished really strong at YME, and their kick team came out with a first place win, and then Lake City was right behind them in second place, and then Montevideo placed third. And then for Jazz, YME placed first, we placed second, and then we beat Cathedral, who placed third. And so that was their first time beating St. Cloud Cathedral and Jazz all year, so they were pretty excited about that as well.
Good. Who's the JV coaches again, Carly?
For Jazz, it's Caitlin Baird, and then for KIC, it's Hope Traeger.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
Did you have another competition after YME?
We did, and then we traveled to our conference meet, which was in Lakeview last Friday. And so this was another great meet. In KIC, we placed second behind YME, and then third place was Canby Miniota. And our all-conference winners were Addie Tefto and Emerson Olson for KIC. And then for Jazz, we placed first. This was the first time that we had beaten YME all season two, so the girls were pretty excited about that win. So YME placed second, and then Worthington placed third. And the all-conference Jazz girls were Molly Halverson, Harper Grunholz, and Hannah Oy.
Okay, and that's the conference then, so.
Yes,
so
yep.
Jazz team were conference champs, is that how you would say
they
that?
They were conference champs, yes, yep.
Awesome. All right. And so does that lead us till next Saturday then, or?
Yes, okay. It's sections week already next Saturday. And so the doors will open at 11 a.m. The Jazz competition will start at noon, and then the KIC competition will start about 2 o'clock with awards finishing up about 3:45. And so this is where we see if we qualify to move on to State. So it's always a fun one to come out and watch and support the dance teams there for all of their hard work this season.
That's right. It's one of my favorite events to broadcast. I wait for section dance all the time, State dance, same thing. Just want to be clear, it's not today. It's next Saturday, so don't go over to Montevideo today. So.
Yes, correct.
And the gym is usually packed and everything, so...
It is. Many of the parents are out there, you know, well before we're there. Sometimes they camp out there at 5 a.m., you know, in their cars and stuff just to get in line. So it might be a nicer winter to do it this year. You know, they won't be freezing
That's right.
cold this year. But they they show their dedication by waiting in line just to get some good seats. So the girls really appreciate that as well, too. So makes it fun and
right.
memorable.
Talk about some of the teams that will be there. Is there any changes? Has anybody dropped out of the section, or have we added anybody in section?
Not that
maybe some of the top teams you can talk about?
Yeah, not that I can think of. So far, based off our average scores, the top teams will be Wyoming, Montevideo, us, and then Canby, Mineota will be there, Lakeview, Bold, just to name some of Worthington. So it'll be, we've always had such a strong section, and so really fun to see the different teams and how they've grown throughout the season as well, too. So,
how many teams qualify for state out of section then?
We have 3 teams for kick and 3 teams for jazz.
Okay. And it's the toughest section in the state, if you ask me. I mean, year after year.
Yes. A lot of times when our section does qualify for state, a lot of times the top 3 teams usually make finals, which is kind of unheard of to have all 3 teams make the top 6. So, it just shows how dedicated our dance teams are and our section and how hard they work, too. So, it's kind of fun to be part of such a competitive section.
All right. Well, I'll be there along with Grace Johnson and Ken Fransky. We have done it for a long time. Dee Dee Schomer might make an appearance. So
great.
We always enjoy covering it. I know Grace is really excited. Of course, she's a coach up at Holly, right?
Holly, yes. Holly Nuggets. And their section meet is this Saturday, today. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carly, for the report this morning, and best of luck next Saturday, February 10th, in Montevideo for Section Dance. And let's make it to state.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Yeah. Carly Wager, head coach of the Shadows. We'll take a break. Be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
The Madison Chiropractic Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to noon. Dr. Clint Bond offers the latest in chiropractic care. Call for an appointment, 320-598-3089. That's 320-598-3089 for the Madison Chiropractic Center. There's no need to travel far for professional chiropractic treatment. You'll find it right downtown Madison, Minnesota. See Dr. Clint Bond at the Madison Chiropractic Center, 508 West 4th Street, just east of Madison City Hall. Chamber of Commerce reminds you to save the date for the 2024 Dawson Riverfest celebration, June 26th to June 30th. There will be 5 fun-filled days of family entertainment. Enjoy a vendor fair, Merchants Night at the ball field, the big Riverfest parade, and more. Make sure your summer plans include Dawson's Riverfest, June 26th through the 30th. Watch and listen for details. For information on other happenings around the state, go online to exploreminnesota.com. This message brought to you by the Dawson Chamber of Commerce.
Can't decide what to get your Valentine? Heather Nursery and Floral in Madison, Dawson, and Montevideo have lots of ideas for you to choose from, like chocolates, balloons, plants, flowers, and more. Contact Heather Floral at their 3 locations to place your order.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacrosse Valley Girls Basketball with head coach Dylan Erickson. Dylan and the girls are on their way to Pipestone right now, right, Dylan?
We are. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having us. Yeah, we have a quick turnaround from last night's game and jump on the bus here this morning. We're heading south to Pipestone for, it's been going on for quite a while now, I think, for a number of years, a matchup with Pipestone. So we travel down there. Again, they had a bunch of experience last year, and so do we, and now we're both kind of in the same boat, kind of turned over the roster a little bit and got a lot of new faces, so it should be a good battle today.
All right. Yeah, kind of nice to play them Saturday games with sections coming up on Saturdays too, right? Get that feeling?
Yeah, again. Yeah, it's just like, getting that game in Marshall. It's just like getting a couple games on Saturdays in the afternoon because that's, first round of playoffs. Kind of get adjusted to that, at least get a feel for it at least once or twice throughout the year. So, a little bit what to expect on a game day like that when your routine's a little bit off. You don't know school before and go to Subway and this and that. You have a little different routine, and it's nice to kind of figure that out a couple times maybe before you actually, it really, really counts. It's nice to get those too.
All right, you got a couple games in this week.
Yeah, we did. So we came off a nice win on Friday and led right into a huge a subsection game for us against RCW on Tuesday. We're kind of the same record, kind of the same familiar losses with teams, and you know, kind of battling it out for you know the last four seeds. The last four of us between Wyoming, Wabasso, ourselves, and RCW are kind of battling there for to host a play-in game and to be able to host it, and you know, maybe get out of that bottom seed. So we had a lot on the line there on Tuesday, and yeah. So again, we. You know, kind of started off a little slow and it was back and forth, and we'd jump out by five, and they'd come back, and then they'd go up by five, and yeah, just this kind of back and forth physical game in there on Tuesday. There was a lot of fouls that you know in the first half, a lot of bumps here and there, a lot of contact that you know girls had to adjust to and try to finish through, and I thought we did a good job of that of playing to you know how the game was being called, and you know we only had a two-man crew, so. Again, you know, we don't really see many of those anymore, and with the speed of the game now and today, that's why we like to have those three-man crews. But, again, we just had to adjust and play through it and play through contact. And, yeah, we went on a little run right before half to get it back to two. We were down eight and run a little run to get it back to two. And so we go into half down 21-19. Liking where we're at for the most part. You know, Jalen had a nice first half for us. She had 11 points of those 19 in the first half, doing a nice job of attacking and getting herself to the rim and to the free throw line, and kind of, you know, boosting our offense was kind of non-existent when she wasn't in there. So, again, he just kept her aggressive and in the game. And then the second half kind of was the same story. It was pretty much back and forth, but pretty low scoring again. Again, with the physicality underneath and things like that. Not a whole lot of scoring. I think in the last 6.5 minutes, Paul, it was 34-31, and the score ended up 39-37. So you tell me how many points you scored in the last 6.5 minutes of the game, and one of those was with 1.5 minutes left. They hit a late contested three to tie it up at 37, and then we come down and a couple times and make a free throw each time, and ended up coming away with an exciting 39-37 win. So again, a huge win for the standings in the section there, and for us with a bunch of games, you know, coming up here in the next couple weeks, so to have a lot of you know, a lot on the line there as well. You know, like today, a nice win at Pipestone boosts us, like a double A school, boosts us quite a bit in that QRF in the rankings there, and then we get a pass for the following week. So again, getting this first one here was a huge step forward for us.
Good game there. So.
Yeah, it was. And then, yeah, I guess running through some stats here on the night, like I said, Jalen Lee led us with 18 points and 12 rebounds. Really nice game out of her. Got herself to the free throw line 10 times. So, I mean, being ultra aggressive there and putting herself in good spots to score with an assist and three steals and a couple blocks. Kayla Jan had 4 points, 4 rebounds, an assist and three steals. Kaya Kranz had 4 rebounds. 2 assists and a steal and a couple blocks as well. Kelly Kahn had 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 steals, and a couple blocks as well. Claire Borsett had 5 points off the bench for us. Did a nice job attacking and helping that zone that they sat in. Had 5 points, a rebound, an assist, and steal, and a block. Zoe Doctor had 2 points, 5 rebounds, a steal. Kayla Shelstead had a three-pointer. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. And Andy Doctor also got in there in the first half and gave us some nice minutes trying to break that zone up a little bit, had a rebound and a steal, but did a nice job on the defensive end and helping giving us some depth on the bench there. But, yeah, they kind of sat in the zone, 2-3 zone, and muddied it up for us a little bit, and we weren't really hitting from the outside. So a lot of things need to happen on the inside. And we started the game off with 3-4 turnovers, just, you know, the ones we thought we've eliminated throughout the year here, but we kind of went back to some old habits and turned the ball over at too high of a rate to start the game and kind of throughout the game in their zone when they would overplay the one half the court, you know, whatever side the ball was on, they'd overplay. We just couldn't get the ball swung out of there fast enough and get to the backside, hit open shooters, cutters, things like that, or dump downs, and so we were just a step slow a little bit on some of our passing and again, just some mental mistakes there, throwing the ball away early in the game and kind of throughout the game against their pressure in that zone. But I thought Andy did a nice job coming in that first half, giving us some minutes there, and same with Zoe Doctor. in the bench in the second half, get a bucket there, but just kind of commanded the middle of the paint a little bit and did a nice job reversing the ball for us. So I was happy what I saw out of that, too. And so, yeah, it was you know, nice to see different girls step up, too, in different areas and throughout the year and see them grow and themselves. So,
what was the final score there again?
39-37. We came out on top. Our third win of the year. So, yeah.
I know some of your girls were at the Madison Mercantile before the game. I loaded them up with caffeine, so.
Yeah, they let me know that. They said they were ready to go, so I said thanks to Paul. So that was nice of you.
All right, good win there. And then last night you played a very, very good team, didn't you?
Yeah, really good CMCS team. I knew they played them the first time. We've gotten better, but so have they. And, yeah, I honestly think, in my opinion, they're probably the best team in our section. In the north side anyways, just with their youth, but they're physical, they can get out and run, they're fast, and they have about four or five girls that can shoot it from the outside at a high rate, and yeah, they're just really fun to watch. With Dunnick as a guard in there, she's fast, always has a nose for the ball wherever it's at, and she can kind of lead them on the break. And then they got, you know, a Mulder girl at 6 foot that she made four threes last night and just runs the floor really well, and a 6'2 girl, Lauren Tages, who's, you know, really strong underneath and can shoot, made a couple threes last night and can shoot from the outside, so versatile there. And then they got who else is on? This grown girl who made a couple threes again. She's kind of a 3-and-D type girl, and so yeah, they just they get you from all angles, and yeah, they went from man to zone and picked you up full court and ran and jump and trap a little bit, and yeah, start the game we just threw the ball away a couple times, let him get a leak out. Dunnick scored 1,000 points within the first basket of the game as a freshman. So congratulations to her on that accomplishment at such a young age. Yeah, just got a couple early timeouts, got a little frustrated with them just with our effort level. We're better than that. Then we came back out, we hit a couple threes and got a bucket and got it to a 10-point game. And I think it was 18-11. It was kind of the closest we got it with the basketball. And then we missed a shot, and they came down, hit a three, and then they kind of opened it up after that. And we got down big in that first half. We just couldn't. Like I said, it was 18-11, and it was 45-17 at halftime. So, again, they really opened it up, got out and ran on us. I mean, transition was one thing we had to try to corral them in transition, and we still just attacked them too hard in the full court, and they were blowing by us and throwing over top, and we just got to understand where we're at. We have to get back. And then they beat us to a lot of offensive rebounds on second and third opportunities, and they scored on almost every one of them. And so a couple things that we can control better that we like get out of hand, and that's just kind of an effort level, and the girls know that, and that needs to be brought every night. And when you play good teams, it just really stands out when you don't have it. And that's what happened to us last night, and same thing in the second half. They just outscored us 33-9 in the second half, just outplayed us, hit some shots. But again, they shot, kudos to them too, they shot the ball really well from the outside. So we were trying to take everything away in the paint, and then they'd get it reversed out a couple times. I don't know what their percentage was, but they made 12 threes on the night. And,
oh, wow.
But when you let a team get rolling like that, playing in transition, playing fast, getting the ball out, playing in rhythm, they get more confident, and shots are just easier. It just is. Again, we got some work to do, and that's where we want to be back to someday, is the standard where CMCS is at right now. And yeah, they got a really nice team, and I think they'll have a chance to go pretty far in the playoffs.
All right, stats on the night.
Yeah, I'll run through a few stats here. Jalen again led us in scoring, had 13 points and 6 rebounds, a couple assists there. Brandy Meyer had a free throw for us, and she came in there, and a couple rebounds. Kaya Kranz had a bucket for us and a few rebounds and a block. Kayla Jan had 6 points for us, 4 assists and a couple rebounds. Kendall Shelston had a bucket, a rebound and assist. Again, she's been sick this week and been out of practice a little bit, so a year older in there. In and out a little bit last night, but she battled it out and toughed it out and is ready for today.
Okay.
Callie Kahn had a bucket and 7 rebounds for us. So that kind of rounds out the scoring for us on a you know, not putting up a ton of points, only 26 points. It's hard. It's going to be hard to beat anybody at that rate. But that's kind of been, you know, other than our turnover factor, our Achilles heel has kind of been, you know, being able to put the ball in the hole and, and score at a higher rate. But that's it's coming. It's just offense. It takes time with a lot of new faces driving together. We're hit and miss. You know, there's some nights we look really good for stretches, and then you get a team that comes in last night and make us look pretty poor at times. So, again, we have a lot of work to do, and we still got some time to correct a few things and going forward.
All right. What do you got besides today with Pipestone today, and then what do you got next week?
So we're at Pipestone today, and then next week we travel down to Owasso for another huge seating in the section there. That would, you know, all win there would go a long, long ways. And then on Thursday we travel to Dawson for that conference matchup there. So yeah, we got a couple games next week that we know we can compete in, and if we go out there and today as well, and so the next stretch here of games, if we go out and play hard and just give effort like I ask and compete, I think we have a good chance for good things to happen the next few games.
Okay. All right, well, good. Dylan, what time's the game start today in Pipestone?
The B-Squad starts at 12 o'clock today, and we'll follow at about 1:30.
Okay.
So a little afternoon basketball.
All right, pick up a couple wins this week, and help in the section, like you said.
That's the goal. You bet. Yep, if we can get a few this week, that would go a long ways, and that's the goal. So
okay.
I know the girls will be ready today to bounce back and compete a quick turnaround here.
All right, thanks a lot, Dylan, and we'll talk to you next Saturday then. Or I'll see you in Dawson on Thursday.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll talk to you then, and thanks, and go Eagles.
All right, Dylan Erickson, head coach of the Lock Bell Valley girls basketball team. Take a break. Come back with more to Coach Show after this.
If you're ready for a home makeover, we suggest you make your way over to Mineota Building Materials. Stop in and talk to Kevin and his staff at Mineota Building Materials, and they can help you create the new look you want for your home. They also offer custom design plans for new homes, additions, ag, storage, workshops, and residential buildings. Stop in, and they'll be glad to help you with estimates and give you construction tips that will make your project go smoother. That's priceless. Mineota Building Materials. They're located right along Highway 68 in Mineota, and they're a proud sponsor of the Mineota Vikings.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. Well, with the Wednesday being our birthday, this was the first Culture Show in the 42nd after 41 years. So we'll keep doing it as long as we can. So thanks for listening. And I know I end with a Dick Newman sick joke of the week. Well, as you drive along, you'll see occasionally some funny road signs. I know they're trying to get rid of them because the driver is distracted a little bit, but here's some that are still in existence. I looked that up. So one of them is, whenever I try to eat healthy, a chocolate bar looks at me and snickers. Another one, decaf coffee is depresso. And finally, only a dead fish will go with the flow. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.